Welcome into a Bleed Tech Bleed Radio podcast only edition here on this Conference USA Championship week as Louisiana Tech travels to Bowling Green, Kentucky to take on the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. First off, Tech coming off a extremely disappointing performance in Hattiesburg last Friday, Black Friday, for lots of reasons. Not only was Southern Miss and all black, but it turned out to be a pretty black day for Louisiana Tech in Hattiesburg. Just came out and really laid a dud of a performance and having an opportunity to really open some people's eyes and show that they are for real and host that Conference USA Championship game in Shreveport, falling in that game 39-24, a game that was 23-17 at the half, and Louisiana Tech's offense was not good in the first half, was even worse in the second half. Jason, overall thoughts of what happened in Hattiesburg? Was Southern Miss this good all year and just had some poor performances and some bad breaks? Or was this more Tech than Southern Miss?
I think it's a little both. I mean, for Southern Miss, it's Nick Mullins. He's been out with a concussion for a few weeks, and they're just a different team without him. And, you know, they lost some pretty bad games here in recent weeks. But coming back, you know, they had a lot of motivation. They wanted to be bowl eligible, get that sixth win. They wanted to knock Tech off. And, you know, and they even said after the game that they used, you know, some of Tech's comments as extra motivation. You know, Tech did a lot of, you know, talking leading up to the game, just saying how bad they wanted this one. I don't think they really said anything out of line, but they, you know, said they wanted to get some payback for last year when Southern Miss came in and kind of ended their season on a sour note. And that's exactly what Southern Miss did again. You know, Tech had 2 weeks to prepare for it and just laid it at.
Matt, what are your thoughts on what happened in Hattiesburg?
Well, if you look at the stat line, I mean, it kind of comes back to the fact that we saw a glimpse of 2013 Ryan Higgins instead of the guy that we've gotten used to over the season. No touchdown passes, 3 interceptions. ESPN has a 31.1 QBR for him. Only about 50% of his passes. I mean, it's still 246 yards, which is low for him, but just the offense wasn't clicking the way that we're so used to seeing out of Tech. Jared Kraft, 9 carries, 17 yards. I mean, he's still got 2 touchdowns, but his longest run was 18 yards, but he finished with 17. I mean, it kind of goes to show just how everything went. I mean, Trent Taylor, 119, he performed up to his usual self. Carlos Henderson, pretty much non-existent. And Ryan Higgins as well, he seemed to be forcing the ball way too many times to Carlos. And that, I mean, that caused at least 2 of the 3 interceptions. It was just a bad overall performance and not the offense that we're used to seeing.
Absolutely. I mean, in the second half, Ryan was forcing the ball for sure. And that was whenever he knew that they needed to get back in the game. They had Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor were clearly not 100%. Trent looked to be in probably a lower percentage of himself than maybe Carlos was of himself. So that's something to watch going forward in this Western Kentucky game. How much have they been able to heal in what will be 8 days? Will that be enough to get those guys to a point where they can be a force again? Will Tech be patient enough to get that running game going? I mean, they really only ran the ball 16 times, and that's including 4 carries by Ryan Higgins. So you take just running back carries, they carry the ball 12 times. That's not enough times. And then on the flip side, you look, Southern Miss ran it 24 times with the Ito Smith alone for 127 yards. If you're Western Kentucky, you've got to be licking your chops after that performance last week. And you know Louisiana Tech knows that. Tech's got something to prove now, and Western Kentucky has enough to prove as well coming off. This will be a rematch of the earlier contest in Ruston that ended up in a barb burner, 55-52, a game that really Louisiana Tech dominated for three quarters before the wheels fell off for Tech and they held on for the victory. I don't know. What's that?
that's the positive that Tech has going into this. You know, Tech got a huge lead on Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky earlier in the year. Those two don't have the best defenses in the world. Western Kentucky's defense, Tech, like you said, scored 55 points on them. I felt like they took their foot off the gas and let Western Kentucky back in. But Tech was the aggressor in that game. Against Southern Miss, the Golden Eagles were the aggressor. I feel like that's why Tech had to abandon the run. They were just getting manhandled along the line of scrimmage. And then, like you said, they got behind and had to start passing even more, and Tech started forcing it. I think Tech will be able to be the aggressor in this game against Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's defense is not very good. I think both teams are going to be able to move the ball and score. It's just a matter of can Tech get back on defense like they have been against the last few teams they played, kind of pin their ears back, get after the quarterback, force some turnovers, and be the aggressor. When they were playing against Southern Miss, I mean, they were reacting. Southern Miss was doing whatever they wanted to do, especially those screen passes to the outside where they get two or three blockers for their receivers, and they were gaining 15 and 20 yards sometimes. And Tech was just totally overwhelmed. I feel like against Western Kentucky, Tech can get back to being the boss, you know, the bully on the block to kind of push Western Kentucky around and get after that quarterback a little bit, make him make some quick throws. I feel like Tech can hold him down, kind of like they did for the first three quarters in their first meeting.
Unfortunately, the issue there is if they can do it. That's an if. I mean, they do have some factors working in their favor, but they also have some factors working against them. Also, I mean, the biggest one has to be the home field advantage. I mean, it's hard to be the aggressor on the road and looking last season in that Thursday night game in Bowling Green to open up the season. It didn't look too good. I mean, Bowling Green and just looking at it, home field advantage is a huge plus for Tech, and being on the road and coming off such a bad performance, it is a big if. I mean, it's possible, yeah. And I mean, it's going to depend on which team shows up, but playing in Bowling Green compared to Ruston it's a bit different.
You mentioned the home field advantage. Have y'all looked at what the forecast is for this weekend? Had that game happen in Shreveport?
Yeah, it's probably a blessing in disguise that it's not in Shreveport.
It's like 3 inches of rain coming, Matt, Saturday here in Louisiana. So it's probably a blessing for both teams that this game isn't being played in Shreveport. I know that Tech would still prefer it to be there, even in the weather conditions. But it won't be a pleasant time in North Louisiana Saturday. I think the highs are in the 40s with lots of rain. That will not be the attendance would have been bad. Field conditions would not have been very good. Yeah, it's a turf field at Independence Stadium, but you still got wet footballs. It would not be a recipe for success for either team. Y'all talked about the. Western Kentucky offensively, defensively, they really are playing some pretty good football right now. They haven't played the class of the conference since Middle Tennessee. They played Old Dominion, which Old Dominion, of course, was in the hunt to win the Eastern Division. Old Dominion was able to score 24 in Bowling Green back on October 22nd. Then Western Kentucky kind of probably had the easiest four games to close out the schedule of anybody in the conference. They played at Florida Atlantic, FIU, North Texas, and Marshall. Three of the four, or two of the four being at home. With Marshall being in the last, one of their last games, they know they're not bowl eligible, and then they go up to Huntington, West Virginia, and beat them 60-6 last week. Tech's offense has got to get back on track, but this West Kentucky defense is playing much better. And they get two guys back that did not play against Louisiana Tech several months ago. So that'll be a big deal for Louisiana Tech. How will they perform with a middle linebacker and a defensive end, arguably their best pass rusher off the edge, the defensive end that's coming back or that will be back for this game. And he's been back since, I think, the Old Dominion game. That's a big change for Louisiana Tech. I, you know, y'all both know that I don't like to be the guy that says game plan kind of things about the coaches should do this, the coaches should do that. But I had this thought the other day. What if you go out and your game plan is to get the ball to Tarzan, Alfred Smith, and Cam McKnight, and you use Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor as decoys, what would happen then?
Well, you almost have to come up with some kind of scheme to get them the ball more, because these teams have all been paying attention. And back to your previous point, I mean, Western Kentucky's been putting up big numbers against bad teams, and that's exactly what Louisiana Tech was doing until last week. So I feel like, yes, Western Kentucky's defense has been looking better, but they've been playing some pretty bad offenses. So, you know, Tech was feeling pretty good on that seven-game winning streak, but then they played a really great defense in Southern Miss, and look what happened. You know, the whole offense completely looks like a whole different unit out there.
And they and Tech still scored 24. Now, granted, seven of that was on defense with the strip sack by Jalen Ferguson.
So, I mean, I feel like Western Kentucky is going to come out, and they're going to be Western Kentucky. They're going to put up a lot of yards. But Tech held them down for the majority of the game last time, and only I feel like they kind of were playing more of a prevent defense in that third quarter, in the end of the third quarter, trying to just make the time run. And that's how Western Kentucky kind of got some little momentum. But Tech can do it again. But like Matt was saying earlier, it's a big if. They've got to go out there and perform, and they've got to come up with a good game plan. They've got to come back with some aggression. And then my other question is, you know, this is the second championship game that Tech's played in. Did not win last time. You've had these bad end-of-the-year performances against Southern Miss the last two times. You know, can this team under Skip Holtz come up with a good week of preparation, good game plan, and come out and get a big win at the end of the season?
And like I said earlier, they have the things working in their favor. Like, I mean, they've played this team before. Sometimes that could be an issue, but knowing, having a familiar opponent, having an idea of what worked the first time, I mean, I know that was half a season ago, but still, that's got to be a positive for them. And as well as being in this situation before, going on the road to a team, I mean, it's still going to be cold. I mean, they played up in West Virginia for the last time that they were in the conference title game. So it's going to be, I think the weather forecast is 50 degrees in Bowling Green. It's partly cloudy. I mean, it's another 11 o'clock kickoff. I mean, it's being treated as a bigger deal. I mean, they got Dave Patch and what's the color commentator? I mean, they've got one of their better commentating teams on it, and it's on ESPN. It's kind of a bigger deal, it seems like. But they do have that working in their favor, that they've been here before against a familiar opponent in a pressure situation. Sometimes that could play against a team, but in this case, I think it could help the Bulldogs.
What's the latest line? I haven't looked at it in a few days. I believe Vegas had it as a 12-point Western Kentucky favorite the last time I saw it. Now it's at
the spread to 10 right now.
It's at 10. Oh, I guess it never was 12. That was what was in my mind. That probably tells you where I'm leaning in this football game. So yeah, it's 10, 9.5. So we'll call it right at 10 with an over-under of 80.5. That's probably pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
Even though these two teams scored, what was it, 107 the last time they met?
Oh, yeah, I think he'll be definitely over 85-90.
I just don't have a good feeling about this one. I'm not trying to break the show up right now, but we do have some basketball to get to. Our heartbreaking loss for Louisiana Tech, the Duncan Dogs last night and out in California against the Cal Bears. But there's just not a whole lot more to be said about this Western Kentucky matchup. Tech's just got to bounce back. It's that simple. Can Trent Taylor and Carlos Henderson dig deep, find some I'm not saying that either one of those guys isn't tough. That's not at all what I'm saying. Both of them were in clear pain last week, especially Trent Taylor. And you're talking about an Iron Man, a guy that hasn't missed much football at all in Trent Taylor. So that tells you how bad he had to be hurting last week. The fact that he left after nearly every time he was targeted, he left the field. But Tech's got to find a way to dig deep and pull out a victory. If I don't know that they're better than Western Kentucky right now, I think Western Kentucky is probably better than Louisiana Tech right now. I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago before the bye date, but that's also before those two guys got hurt and before the bye week or the open week. So I really don't know what to expect, but my gut doesn't tell me that this game is a Louisiana Tech victory.
Well, and I honestly think that the bye week
hurt. You mentioned trying to get involved on offense, Cam McKnight, you know, some of the guys, Tarzan.
Well, on defense, too. I mean, I wonder if, you know, they've been bouncing around with a lot of different starters and players on defense. But, you know, they're some pretty big recruits over the last couple of years, like with Jerry Espine and Donald Freeman. These guys have been on campus for a year or two now. And it's not like they were at the beginning of the season. They've had a whole year of practice. Is it a time now to put some of these big athletes on the field that are playmakers and see if they can give the defense a little bit of a step, you know, an extra step up and give them a jolt that they need?
What was that, Matt?
Oh, no. I mean, I was just saying, like I said earlier, they do have some things working in their favor. I mean, of course, you don't have the extra week to help a guy like Carlos or Trent get a bit more healthy. But in the end, I think that bye week so late in the season threw the team for a loop and might have ended up hurting them in the long run, especially in such a big game. I mean, some schools find it better to schedule a bye week or an open date right before a big game, a chance to get rested and recuperate or get just better prepared. But in this case, it doesn't seem like it's helped Tech the past two seasons. Just that, I mean, they've lost both times last year and this year after an open date against a team like Southern Miss. I mean, it throws a group of guys like Tech off their game
it's the momentum killer. I think it's a great point.
Yeah.
The momentum killer in the last two seasons, it's hit them like that, and it didn't really help as far as getting healthy. You still saw Trent and Carlos still banged up after 2 weeks. I know it's a positive because it comes during quarter break and finals, and they need that week off to take care of it in the classroom. But for the football team, it's definitely a momentum killer.
One of the questions that I've got going into this game is the Western Kentucky kick returner torched Tech in the last meeting. Will they kick to that guy? Yes, the coverage teams are better, but are they that much better? That guy's
I squib it every time.
Or you sky kick it to the 40, and that way you get your or to the 35, whatever you can do, and get your coverage teams down there. And even if they decide to toss it, you've got guys there. There is no way in Hades I would traditionally kick to Kylan Towner. He's unbelievable. In the game in Ruston, he had four returns for 167 yards.
Yeah, I'm with you. So sky kick it, squib it, do something. Don't kick it to that guy.
I hope Jonathan Barnes has been practicing his kickoffs. Maybe the wind will be at his back or something, kick some touchbacks. But, yeah, 100%, don't kick it to him. You can't afford to in a game like this.
You can't. Absolutely cannot afford to kick the ball to that guy. He's number one in America in kick returns, I believe, right now. Now he's their punt returner. How about that? Not only is their kick returner, now he's their punt returner as well. And maybe Tech's punting woes helps them there because you don't really know exactly where the punt's going when Tech punts it. So that may be a blessing. But even this guy, I think Towner even had good returns against Alabama early in the year. If you can do it against Alabama, who looks like they may run away with this whole college football playoff thing, you can do it against anybody. There's a lot of matchups around this game that scare me, and that's probably number one. Number two is the defensive line versus Tech's O-line. After last week, the Southern Miss off defensive line rarely put their hands in the dirt, and they still owned the Tech offensive line. Yeah, Tech's pretty good at pass protecting, but they're awful right now at run blocking. And that's shocking as veteran-laden as that group is.
Well, and especially as well as they've been doing ever since Ethan Reed came in, I feel like he's given them a big boost on the offensive line, and I feel like
you should be able to run behind O'Shea Dugas at any time, but I just felt like Southern Miss was the aggressors in the entire game, and Tech was on their heels, both on offense and defense, and they just took away that run game. There was nothing that Tech could do about it, unfortunately. So hopefully they can figure out a way against West Kentucky to bring the run game back to the Hilltoppers and try to run it right at them.
Any thoughts, Matt?
I mean, pretty much the same thing. The stats speak for themselves. The 8 total team yards, whenever you take into account Ryan Higgins' rushes on Fridays, I mean, really all you need to see. I think I've said it in previous shows. It's really just going to come down to which team shows up. If these guys are going to be as good as we know they can be, or if we'll see the same guys that played Friday against Southern Miss. I mean, it's Ito Smith completely decimated Tech's defense. He showed how a running back should run, and hopefully Jared Kraft can take a page out of his book.
Well, luckily for Tech that the Western Kentucky running backs, I think this is a factual statement. I'll pull up their roster to double check this, but they have some bruiser running backs. They don't have a lot of shifty guys or balanced backs like an Ito Smith. They've got a lot of bruisers. So that actually may play in Tech's favor. Well, actually, Anthony Wells is 5'10", 195, so here I am making myself a liar. DeAndre Ferby is a big dude at 6'1", 240. Ben Holt plays some. He's 5'11", 220. So outside of Anthony Wells, who is their, I believe he's their starting tailback, they have a bunch of big running backs. So that's a matchup to watch. Given last week what Ito Smith did against Tech, with his catching a ball out of the backfield, very, very similar to the Middle Tennessee running back Itavius Mathers. He did very, very similar things to Louisiana Tech. And if you're an offense playing Tech right now, you know they're going to blitz you. How do you counteract a blitz or an aggressive defense? You throw screen passes. You throw the ball to the running back out of the backfield because odds are the guy that's assigned to him is blitzing. So you've got a mismatch. So that's what teams are going to do to counteract the blitz, and that's what they've been doing. And until Tech can play man coverage on the outside with their corners, you can't aggressively play press coverage so you can get to those running backs if you see that play developing. Tech doesn't have the corners right now to run with receivers and play man coverage. They have to play zone. So maybe you play a more aggressive zone where you're playing closer to the line of scrimmage to take away that swing pass, screen pass, wheel route, whatever you want to call it.
I think you've got enough size with Prince Sam and Cyril Nolan Lewis. You've got to try to play press and just trust your safety. You got Xavier Woods back there. Trust him to make a play on the ball, but they've got to do something. They cannot just let them get in rhythm and just keep catching ball after ball, because it'd be a long night if that happens.
It would be tempting to me if I'm Blake Baker to run more of a 4-4 defense and roll Cedric Cooper all the way down into the box with Lloyd Grogan and whoever the other linebackers happen to be on Saturday. And leave Xavier Woods back there in a one deep safety zone. He can run like crazy. See what he can do, and then you put more pressure on Western Kentucky, and you keep him from running the ball, putting 4 people in the box. And you can be more aggressive with your blitzes and be more creative. There's a lot of people who have hated on Cedric Cooper's play at safety. I think he's actually played pretty well. He's a strong safety. He's not a free safety. He's not asked to cover all that often. He's more of your run support guy. Xavier Woods is that free safety that's running sideline to sideline and is expected to be Legarius Sneed's job next year as that guy who can run like that.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder if you'll see something like Sneed and Woods out there together just to get more coverage. I like your idea of trying to clog up the middle. You got to take away that tight end. You got to try to take away the middle of the field throws. That's going to make them test you deep. But that's why you have Woods back there, and you've got to trust your corners can not get totally burned. But just giving up those passes across the middle over and over I mean, it just makes it for a long night. It would be really hard to slow them down if you play off and let them just keep catching it.
And you look at these receivers for Western Kentucky and Nicholas Norris, who had 108 yards during the meeting in October for Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky. He's only 5'9". Taywan Taylor, another guy that I believe he's 6'1". So he's not a huge guy. He's kind of a leaner guy. And then Nasarius Fant is another 5'9" guy. So you have one guy with some decent length, but they can all run. And Mike White has had a really good year. He had 340 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions against Tech earlier in the year. He's thrown for 3,600 yards this season for 67%. He's been sacked 12 times, so that's something to watch. He has thrown 5 interceptions. Jalen Ferguson's going to have a sack and a half, 2 sacks in this game. Is that going to be enough? Can they get some pressure and maybe get more? If Jalen Ferguson ends up with 3 sacks, I like Tech's chances a whole lot better.
Yeah, pass rush is going to be huge in this game, whether it's coming from the inside with Jordan Bradford or Canty and Ferguson on the outside. They have got to get into Mike White's grill early and often, because if he's got time to pick them apart, I mean, the game's going to be over before it started. They've got to get a big pass rush, and Ferguson's going to have to come up with a huge game.
Well, let's go ahead and go to predictions here. I don't have any problems going first. We would be remiss not to talk about Massey ratings, because this is Bleed Tech Blue Radio after all. 26% chance of victory. They've got it 42-35, Western Kentucky. I actually kind of like that, the sound of that. And then you look at Football Study Hall. They have a 23% chance of victory, 40-27. So they've got a little bit wider margin of victory for Western Kentucky. And then, of course, Vegas at 9.5-10 with a over-under of 81. So they're seeing it at, what would that be, 50 to – or sorry, I'm not real good at math. But anyway, something like that. I'm seeing this game as a 45-32. Western Kentucky.
Yeah, that's real close to what I had. I'm going to go 48-38, Western Kentucky. Tech is definitely capable of winning this game, but you know they got a lot to overcome. So that I'm going to stick with about a 10-point margin for the Hilltoppers.
I think it'll be close, probably. Not as high scoring as the last time these two teams met, but probably 48-42, Western Kentucky.
Well, that would be exciting for sure if it's that close. I just see it being a two score game. The injuries to Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor, I don't think they'll be 100% this week. The running game's woes. I'm concerned about this one for sure. I had concerns last week against Southern Miss. I thought that was the one, Jason, you've been calling for it for weeks, but that was the one that concerned me more than any of the ones previously. And I turned out to be right there. I did pick Tech, but I was worried about it. Probably picked a little bit too much with my heart last week instead of my gut. And this time I'm going with my gut. Let's switch gears into basketball. Jason, you're probably the basketball guru than anybody else here. But if Tech could hit a 3-point shot, they'd be undefeated.
Well, yeah, but I feel like they're relying on the 3-point shot too much. I thought
they
that
probably,
was their best
they probably
showing.
Are, but as a result of them not making it, they're not undefeated.
Yeah, and I feel like this was their best showing against a Power 5, whatever you want to call it, major program. You know, they fared okay in their last two games. What was it, South Carolina and Nebraska? But Cal has some NBA talent on that team. They really played some good perimeter defense. Ivan Rapp, he's going to be a lottery pick, 6'10". He went off, but he was not the one that killed them. you know, they took it to overtime, and then they just went cold. I feel like you're seeing kind of a changing of the guard. Eric Conkle's in his second year. He's getting his own players in there, but you still have some guys from the previous regime. And Eric McCree is the go-to guy on offense. The problem is, when everything goes through him, I feel like the offense kind of slows down, and he settles for that jump shot too much. He can hit it, but he is so good when he puts the ball on the floor and drives. He can either make contact and get fouled and get to the free throw line or create for others. But when he's shooting threes, I feel like it hurts the team. And you just see Bracey and Derry Jean coming up and growing so fast. And Jalen Harris, you know, didn't play in this game, but you can see when he's on the floor how much talent he has. I feel like that's the future of this team. And so it's kind of how can the old and the new work together? How can they work together this season? You've got a really big center in Omar now that can score in the low post. And how do all these different guys, you know, Boykins is a great spot-up shooter and rhythm shooter when they can look for him and get him open shots. They've got to figure out a way to take all these strengths and work together. And it works sometimes and it doesn't sometimes. But I feel like they're playing solid defense, you know, having Omar inside and then Janiyah White backing him up. They've got some size now to protect the paint, get some block shots. But the offense is still a work in progress. And how do you take all these exciting new guards and work them in with the half-court guys like you have with McCree and Omar and Boykins? Because I feel like Bracey and Gene would be much better off just running up and down the court 100 miles an hour. So how do you kind of work the new in with the old and make this season a success? I think going forward, the future's bright. There's a lot of talent coming in. These guards are going to be something special. But how can you make this season one where they can contend for a conference championship? The talent's there, but does it all fit together, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the transition that I was kind of picturing at the beginning of the season because, I mean, Conkle, he's got the players that he wants, that he recruited, his fitting his scheme, his system. You're not relying on Alex Hamilton anymore. You've got a more well-rounded team, I guess you could say, because you don't have that one guy who's kind of being leaned on for the whole season. But everybody's just kind of trying to find where they fit. Everybody's just trying to figure out how they go forward through the rest of the season and through the rest of their careers, too. I mean, excluding McCree and Sherman, considering they'll be gone next season. But like you said, they have young talent coming in. They've got young talent here after this great recruiting class now that we're seeing how well they can perform. But like I said, everybody is just trying to figure out kind of where they fit. And I have no doubts that, I mean, it'll still be at least an above average season by Tech standards, because we here in Ruston have been treated to some pretty good basketball teams over the past couple of years. But it's definitely a transition.
I definitely think it'll be an above average season. I definitely think it'll be above average season. I mean, you've got a lot of home games in the non-conference. I think Tech's got a chance to really pad their stats, so to speak, and get some wins going into conference. I think the conference is down. You'll have a couple of really good teams, but you'll have a lot of bad ones. And Tech can push 24, even 25 wins this year. But the question is, when you get in that conference tournament, you know, do they have a chance to win it against the elites of the conference? You know, we'll see. I think Tech's still going to have a good year, but can they have a championship year? That remains to be seen, and it's all going to be dependent on how quickly this offense can meld together and figure out how to take their strengths and put them into a consistent offensive threat.
The thing that's probably most impressive to me about this team right now is how balanced they are in scoring. I don't think that I expected that coming in, but they've been very balanced in scoring. You've had not a different guy every night, but you've had a lot of guys scoring double digits. Later in the year, I would not be shocked to see Daquan Bracey at the one, and you'll have Derek Jean at the two, and maybe rotating Boykins and Kedar Davis at the three, depending on the matchup with McCree and Sherman rounding out the lineup. I was expecting Daquan Bracey to be good, had no idea he was going to be this good. He's better than Derek Jean was last year. He's better than Speedy Smith was as a true freshman. He's better than Alex Hamilton was as a true freshman. He's a really, really good point guard.
Well, and what's hurting him right now, too, is Jalen Harris hadn't played in the last couple of games. And so Bracey's really good. Derek Jean's really good. And so is Jalen Harris. But you don't have enough depth at guard to play them all three together because there's really no other true guards on the entire roster that are besides walk-on. So those three guys really have to split the two guard spots between the three of them. And then, like you said, have Kedar and Boykins and McCree play more at the forward spots. But I think, yeah, that's got to be their game plan going forward. Hopefully, Jalen Harris will be back soon. And, yeah, the future's bright with that backcourt.
And Jalen Harris has had a really good true freshman year. I didn't expect that out of him. I know Pemberton is and that his last name is coming off of a knee injury his senior year. He's not quite ready. You got to expect you're not halfway through the year yet, but I would imagine he's probably a redshirt guy because of that injury. But Tech, absolutely, the future is very bright in basketball. They've taken a few years to rebuild it. You got to wonder if Xavier Stapleton's kicking himself for transferring at this point. I know the guy tore his meniscus or his ACL, whatever it was, last year, so he missed last year. And he think he was sitting out last year anyway because of transfer rules. But he hadn't even sniffed the floor yet. At Mississippi State.
Well, and I haven't checked, and I'm already losing my mind with the transfer from that went to Central Florida. Is he kicking himself too? I haven't checked in to see how he's doing. But
I think they probably were okay with that one, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I understand. But just looking at the lack of depth at guard, you've had with, the injuries and whatnot, I feel like, Tech could use another body off the bench. But, the depth's coming. They got two guards in the early signing period, and they've got a loaded front court. So I feel like the future going forward is bright, but this is not a throwaway year. I feel like they've got enough talent that they can still have a really good year and hopefully a championship contender, the Conference USA.
Well, guys, really appreciate you doing this one with me today. We had a few technical issues we had to work through, but we got all that work down. Got about 40 minutes in here, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, a podcast-only edition here on, what would this be, Conference USA Championship Eve?
You don't want to throw anything in about the bowls, or are we going to save that for next week?
We still got bowl season and coaches – carousel to talk about
Jay Ford. there's plenty to talk about. We'll do bowl talk. It doesn't look like there was some talk of Skip Holtz to Purdue.
I don't think that's true.
He was in the mix at Purdue. I don't know how serious that is. You would have thought that they would have done something by now if that was the guy. Maybe they're waiting for the season to be over. I don't see that. But, yeah, the coaching carousel is just now beginning to turn, and anything is possible. We all have learned that around Louisiana Tech previous years.
And let me say this. The Purdue job, I feel like, might be a decent fit. And then Kevin Wilson was let go at Indiana today. And I feel like, Skip Holtz is in a perfect situation in Louisiana Tech, and hopefully they'll get that contract signed and everything will be fine for years to come. But if he ever was to make a move, a school like Indiana or Purdue that seemed to be always in the cellar in the Big Ten, a coach like Skip Holtz, who's established, it should be what they would be looking for instead of trying to keep getting a young up-and-comer that last 3 years and is gone. Skip Holtz knows what he's doing. He's got a proven resume. He could come in and get that program going in the right direction. So that's who Indiana or Purdue should be looking at, but hopefully they won't. But hopefully they'll go and make another bad hire.
Matt, you've been all up in this bowl situation thing. What can you surmise? My gut reaction for months has been it'll be the Heart of Dallas Bowl.
That's what a lot of people are saying. It'll more than likely be a local, and I say local, I mean Shreveport, Dallas, and New Orleans. But the issue is with New Orleans that Tommy McClellan came out and said it's more of an unwritten rule that Conference USA likes to try to spread their teams out and not put the same team in a bowl 2 years in a row, but that hasn't stopped some publications from putting a New Orleans Bowl rematch with Arkansas State and Tech in New Orleans this year. But
well, that'd be a yawner.
The idea, Yeah, it would. The idea would be the Heart of Dallas Bowl, but of course that all comes down to what Western Kentucky would do if they win the conference title, because the conference champion gets first crack. And the Heart of Dallas Bowl, I'm looking at the tie-ins. The tie-ins are Boca Raton, Hawaii, New Mexico, Bahamas, New Orleans, Heart of Dallas, Independence. Independence being if there's no fill-ins from ACC or SEC, but both of them will fill their allotment because of the results this past week with Vanderbilt beating Tennessee. Out of all of those, only the Heart of Dallas Bowl has a tie-in against a Power 5 team, albeit it'll probably be a 6-6, a 7-5 Power 5 team, but that's much more attractive to play against a Power 5 school rather than a school from, say, the MAC or Mountain West. And the American is a bit more interesting, and that's the Bahamas, but Old Dominion's already gone there, and they'll be playing Eastern Michigan. So the American tie-in there
that's a matchup to get excited about.
Good for Old Dominion.
I feel like all the signs are pointing to Southern Miss in New Orleans and UTSA going out to New Mexico. So it comes down to, like Matt said, does Western Kentucky, if they win, do they prefer Boca Raton or Heart of Dallas? And 2 years ago, Marshall won and preferred Boca Raton. You're playing against a team like a Memphis, you know, an AAC team, but they recruit that state of Florida. So it makes more sense for them to go there, check with lineup against Heart of Dallas. And if the Big Ten can't fill their spot, you might be playing a 6-6 or even a 5-7 team.
The issue here is that the Big Ten will not actually have the full allotment, which is what makes the Heart of Dallas Bowl such a big question mark. Because if Western Kentucky doesn't want to go up against a group of five team that they could play in Boca Raton or somewhere closer so their fans could travel, it doesn't make it worth going to Dallas, because the projections are all clickbait. If you look through them, it's all about what makes the most sense, what gets people looking at that page to appease them. But Heart of Dallas is really up in the air. The projections that I've seen, and like I said, take this with a grain of salt, have possibly Houston or a Big 12 team like TCU or Texas Tech, Texas Tech's not bowl eligible, I don't think. But it's not going to be a Big 10 team, which raises the question of who it would be. Would it be worth Western Kentucky's time? And then you also have to throw in the fact that Conference USA can trade bowls. Different conferences can do that. They can switch things around, and that's what leads to Houston possibly being in the Heart of Dallas. And another projection that I've seen has Louisiana Tech in the Armed Forces Bowl against one of the service academies. So it's really just it is a crapshoot, but it's a really interesting crapshoot whenever you think about it, because Saturday night, early Sunday morning, the dominoes will probably start falling, unless, of course, Navy wins, which that's a whole other story. Hopefully it becomes evident it's like a close game or something like that, and people will just go ahead and put Western Michigan in the playoffs, one of the playoff rotation spots in the Cotton Bowl. But things should be starting to take shape late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Things will be coming out. Athletic directors will be calling each other, and conferences will be calling each other, trading. And it's going to be really interesting, all things considered, because the Pac-12 also doesn't have enough teams to fill their allotment. And North Texas will be going bowling at 5-7 because of APR. So, I mean, there's just a lot to look at. And I'm actually looking forward to breaking it down on Tuesday whenever we have our regular scheduled show.
I feel like it's going to be Heart of Dallas, or like Matt mentioned, the trade for the Armed Forces Bowl. And
Don't count out the Hawaii Bowl. I would not count out Hawaii.
I hope Middle Tennessee gets shipped out there and Tech does not. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Anything could happen. What do you think about the rumors of former Tech coach Sonny Dykes being mentioned with the Houston and the Baylor jobs, and even as recently in the last 24 hours being mentioned as the primary point person of interest in the Baylor job, and Tech got Baylor on the schedule coming up?
It would certainly really make for a very good storyline. I have a good friend that is a big Baylor fan, and he's not believing the Sonny Dykes to Baylor deal. He thinks that might be out of the Sonny Dykes camp. But
I think it's fit though. Pac-12 coach, not much defense over on the West Coast. So Big 12 wouldn't be that much of a change.
He wants out of Berkeley something fierce. That much is for sure. He does not want to be there 1 second longer than he has to be. Does he go to Houston? I don't think Houston hires him. Personally, he's already
honestly,
spurned him once.
Miles
remember whenever he spurned Houston years ago and stayed at Tech. I don't see that happening, and I don't think he ends up at Baylor. So often these things, as Jason, in our time of covering these coaching searches, it's the guy that you don't expect to end up in at one of these jobs. You were talking about Les Miles. I think he's out of coaching for at least a year.
Yeah, I don't see Miles in a program like Baylor or Houston that's so wide open offense. They're going to go for somebody like Sonny Dykes or Mike Leach or Lane Kiffin. And you're right. I mean, I think Dykes wants out of Cal. I think Mike Leach would like to get out of Washington State, even though he's coming off a good season. Those guys are Texas guys. They're wide open offensive guys, and I feel like they'd be a good fit. The one thing Dykes has going for him with Baylor, he interviewed at Missouri last year and almost got the job. The guy that interviewed him is now the AD at Baylor. And so he's got that relationship, and they're in a situation where a lot of coaches aren't going to want that job with all the mess that they're in. But Dykes has proven at Cal and at Louisiana Tech he can come in and rebuild a program. And so maybe he's the guy for that job.
That's very true. Although on the Les Miles thing, I think I don't think he'll take a year off. I think because he is at the age that he is and he's so close to the end of his coaching career, I believe that he'll end up at a school that needs a short-term fix, whether that be 3 or 4 years and then he's out again and possibly retires. I don't know. But for Miles, I think he'll be taken somewhere that needs a short-term fix to bring the program back up to a place where they're stable. As for Houston, Lane Kiffin would make a lot of sense because Houston is, while they are a group of five school, I think they're one of those schools that is big enough and has been in the national spotlight enough to warrant a bigger name coach going there and being attractive as well, because I mean, Houston's a pretty good recruiting area. So it's a pretty attractive job. Baylor, on the other hand, is too much of a mess for really many people to touch.
All right, guys. Well, good stuff.